is not yours, it's the Lord's. So my dad used to say, why are we battling? Turn it over to him. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to speak to you about the fact that your destiny is in your words. You know, people are looking for keys to reach their destiny in life. They connect with certain people, and they listen to messages, and they attend seminars, and all that's good because it can help us to reach our destiny along the way. But there's a key revealed in the Word of God that overrides everything else you do in reaching your destiny. It's Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. I want you to notice that one phrase in this verse, he'll have whatever he says. Turn to your neighbor and say, he'll have whatever he says. This can be referring to your future. A person will have experiences in life, but your future will be whatever you say. This means then that realizing your destiny is connected to your words. Our future circumstances and experience in life reveal the words that we have spoken before. I want to say that again. I want you to get a hold of that. Your circumstances and experiences in life are revealed in the words that you have spoken before. This is the principle of faith. It enables us to rise above everything that would come against us that would try to keep us from being successful in our lives. You know, this enabled my father to come off of a bed of affliction. Many of you know the story. Those of us who know the Word of God know that this principle of believing and saying is one of the greatest things that you can get a hold of. Let's look at some other scriptures here. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 18:21. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I hear a page is turning, so I'll wait a minute. Okay. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, it's whatever you say is what you get. Really, that would be the essence of this scripture. You could say it that way. Now look at, excuse me, look at Matthew 12:37. In the New Living. Matthew 12:37. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Like I said, I'm going to read this out of the NLT, New Living Translation. Okay. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. That's a strong statement. These two scriptures right here alone, along with all the others, really show us that our words make a definite difference in our lives. You know, some people say, well, this confession business, it doesn't work. It doesn't. The Bible says it does. Right? You know. Now, we're not talking about saying something one time. I'm talking about saying something consistently, saying the same thing over a period of time. I mean, you heard Dan up here, and when he was giving the testimony, he and Chris continued to say that over and over and over and over and over again. We're talking about saying something that we believe. I know Craig always, when he was in junior high school, he confessed, I can run fast. And he said it over and over and over again. And he did good, you know. Confessing what the Word of God says is a lifestyle, not a every once in a while statement. It is consistently saying the same thing over and over and over again. If we say this confession stuff won't work, it won't. If you say confessing the Word of God will work, it will. Our words carry power that enables us to accomplish. Words are containers, and they're either filled with faith, love, joy, peace, or they're filled with hate, discontentment, and on the list can go. Do you realize your words create an atmosphere? Have you ever walked into a room and immediately you could sense and tell that harsh words have been spoken in that place? Anybody? Words create the atmosphere. You can create a positive atmosphere or a negative atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere of faith or an atmosphere of doubt. You do it with your mouth. You know, we're talking about our words have power, are carriers of power. You realize electricity is carried through wires. And it has to be the right type of wire, depending on the voltage. Is that not correct? You guys that got any electricians in here? Isn't that correct? If you don't have the right type of wire, the power's not going to flow. Or if you cross the wrong kind of wires, there's going to be some power going on. When I was in the Army, one of our engineers, he worked electricity stuff. And so one night, stuff wasn't working, our teletypes and stuff wasn't working, so we called him. He got his ladder and he went up, and there's a box up there on the wall. And he's got I see what's the matter. And he reached in his tube pouch and got a screwdriver. Now, he should have turned off the electricity. But somebody said to him, I wasn't close to him, but I heard them. They say, hey, Zionkowski, you need to turn the electricity off. And I heard him say, oh, no, it's just as simple. All I got to do is make one little turn. Well, he made the little turn, but when he did, that screwdriver slipped over and hit that metal screwdriver. hit the metal over here on the side of the box while he was engaged. Sparks flew. It knocked him off of the ladder, and it welded that screwdriver to that box, that electrical box. Now you see, there was power there. But because the power was contacted wrongly, it had a devastating effect, right? Our words are powerful. They contain power. That's why we need to speak the word of God. Speak the power of God. Speaking the wrong words will short circuit the power. Speaking the right words will bring life. The wrong words bring death. We just read that over there in Proverbs. Is that not correct? Speaking God's word releases the power of God to operate in our lives and help us to reach our destiny. Some people don't understand how to get to their destiny. God is telling us we get to our destiny by consistently and continually speaking the word of God. You know, God created the world with his words. Right? You ever read it over there in Genesis? How many ever read Genesis 1? Well, 3/4 of this crowd has read Genesis chapter 1. If you go read it, God goes into creation and he says, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. We need to get a hold of the fact we can't create a world like God did, but we can create the world we live in by how we speak and what we say. I never forget Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher. I think she come out of Noah's Ark. But all of you, most of you probably, when you're looking at your first grade teacher, it's older ones anyway, nowadays the teachers look young, but man, back when I was in school, they're all old. But I never will forget Miss Fowler. She asked somebody in the class, can you do this? And that person said, I can't. And she wrote in real big letters on the blackboard. We had blackboards with white chalk. Anybody go to school when they have blackboards and white chalk? Okay. How many ever had to take the erasers outside and clean erasers? Usually that meant we got in trouble. Maybe it wasn't that the way where you went. Maybe they just chose somebody. But man, you had to go out there and you bouncing that, trying to getting all that chalk dust out. Next thing you know, you got white all over you. But she wrote on that blackboard in real big letters, never say I can't. I never will forget that. But you know, that goes in line with the word of God. The word of God always says, I can. Right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm talking about understanding how to speak the right words to release the power of God to propel you to your destiny. Hebrews 4:12 in the New Living. Hebrews 4:12 in the New Living. Hebrews 4:12 in the New Living. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. In other words, the words you speak come from your innermost desires and thoughts. The New Revised Translation says, indeed, the Word of God is living and active. The New Century Version says, God's Word is alive and working. The Amplified Version says, for the Word that God speaks is alive and powerful, making it active, operative, energizing, and affecting. Like I said a while ago, Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was. One sentence from God's mouth changed darkness to light. One sentence from the Word of God out of your mouth can change your situation. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. In a sporting context, game, if you underestimate your opponent, you will lose every time. You can't underestimate the power of the devil. Now, I'm not magnifying the devil, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is that he does have power. So many times people get into the Word and they get to believing, and they tend to forget that he does have power, and they're underestimating, and they don't stay on the offense. With the enemy, the devil himself, you've got to stay on the offense all the time. You know, the power of the Word of God drives out the darkness in our lives. It drives the right words spoken from the Word, drives out depression and despair. That's darkness. The right word spoken will cause fear and torment to leave your life. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. See, you combat the enemy with your words. You can't roll up your sleeves and double up your fists and go fight the devil. All of us guys in here, most of us, I would say not all, but most of us guys, sometime or another in our life, we've had a fracas with somebody else. Anybody want to admit it besides me? But you fight the enemy by your words that come out of your mouth. The Word of God, the Word of God coming out of your mouth creates the atmosphere. It creates the world that you want to live in. The right words coming out of your mouth drives away lack and poverty. But now you got to do something else. You got to line up with that. My God supplies all my needs according to my riches and glory. But that's true. But he also tells you, if you don't give, he can't give back to you. Now, I don't have time to preach on that, so I'll go on. The right words spoken out of your mouth drives away disease and sickness. By his stripes, we might be healed if we live a good life. By his stripes, we might be healed if it's his will. By his stripes we are, or it says we were, So if we were, then we is. Now that's not good English, but I got the point across. You got it just like that. Come on now. There is enough power in the Word of God to create all that is visible. In Hebrews 11:3, okay? Give you a chance to turn there too. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The new trend, that was the New King James. The NLT says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. If the spoken word of God can create what we see visibly now, then the spoken word of God can create what we need in our lives. The power of God causes the invisible to become visible. Luke 18:27, my scripture. When it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. In other words, the impossible, that's that you can't see, feel, see, touch, it can become a reality in your life by simply speaking it. That's one of the greatest truths that we can get a hold of. Now let's go to where we see a man by the name of Abraham speaking the word of God. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. New King James says, as is it written, I made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so all shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want you to notice he didn't even consider what was present in the natural. He didn't consider that knowledge. The only knowledge he considered was what God said. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith by giving glory, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The New Living said, who creates things out of nothing. The English Standard said, calls into existence things that do not exist. Verse 17, we read there, calls those things who do not exist as though they did. Now, Abraham did what God did. He called those things that were not yet as though they were. And you say, well, I don't know. What are you talking about? Well, whenever he told anybody his name, he was saying what God had already said. He was saying, I am the father of many, and he didn't have any. He was calling those things that were not. He was calling it into existence by what he said. And for somewhere around, depending on what chronological guy or group that you want to follow, somewhere around 17 years, he went around calling himself father of many, and he didn't have any. But he was speaking what God said. God had told him that you're going to be the father of many. Right? So that's the kind of faith that gets you what you need in your life. But you just, somebody said, well, I tried it for a week and it didn't work. I've had people say that. Listen, it's not one day or try it for a week. It's a lifestyle, day after day after day after day after day. Whether you see it, whether you don't see it, you keep saying it. Abraham kept saying it day after day, and it didn't seem like it was happening. But you see, it's not what it seems like. It's what God said. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So I'm going to say it. All my needs are met. I'm not given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I'm going to create from the Word of God the world that I want to live in. If you don't like what's going on, start talking better. Start talking the truth from the Word of God, what God's Word says. Abraham continually, say it, continually, called the promise of God as though it was. And what happened? It eventually became a fact. He didn't waver. This means he maintained a consistent confession of what he believed. Sometimes we don't see it right away, but we keep saying it anyway. We keep saying it anyway. I learned this growing up with my father. Because he came off of the bed of affliction with Mark 11:23, believing in his heart and saying with his mouth. This is the way that when he left that last church he pastored and went out on the field in the middle of my third grade year in school. Man, we didn't have anything. We moved into a little 3-room apartment that wasn't even close to being as big as this stage. It wasn't much bigger than from here to here and back to here. And we struggled for a long time till about my 7th grade year in school. And Dad came home. He'd be gone 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time. He came home and he said, listen, family, I found out something. He said, you got to say it for finances the way we do it for healing. We had no problem with healing because that's what he... See, what you got to understand that you may be strong in one area of saying something, but you're not in another area because it hasn't become a reality to you. In every area of your life, it has to become a reality. We started saying, we're going to get so much in the offering this week. Back then, they just passed the plate and then they just didn't have no checks or nothing. They just dump it in your briefcase and you count it when you got to the room and that's what you got. I'm going to tell you something. We maintained a consistent. Dad would tell, he would write Mom and he told us, he said, okay. And when he came home and told us this, and we said it that day, he said, I will... write your mother. I will tell her the time that you need to, wherever, if I'm in another time zone, I'll tell her that I'm going to be in the church praying and saying this at this particular time. And you say it at that time. She'd tell us, like he'd say, okay, at 1 o'clock, You say, this week in the offering, we're going to get a certain amount of money. He said, kids, wherever you're at, we started doing that. Did it happen the first week? No. But we kept saying it anyway. And we kept saying it anyway. And guess why? It started to work. A few weeks later, it started to work. Hey, we kept saying it. Everything we got from the house, everything. Dad got a new car. We finally got out of that apartment and we moved into a house. And all I had was my rollaway bed. You probably heard that story. And I put it in that room. I told Dad, I said, well, hey, y'all all got bedrooms. Why can't I have a? He said, you know how to get it, don't you, son? I said, yep. So I started telling all my buddies, because they'd come over to the house, and they'd see I just got that, nothing in that room but that rollaway bed. You young people don't even know what a rollaway bed is. It's a bed that folds up like this, and it's got four legs down here. And you roll it wherever you need to roll it, and you drop it out and get on it. It's not a real comfortable bed either. Anybody ever slept on one? It's not real comfortable, is it? And especially when you start growing a little bit, it's too short. And so I started to say, I tell everybody, told all my buddies, I'm going to get a bedroom suit. I'm going to get a bedroom suit. I kept saying, we went up to Sherman, to my Uncle Guy's house. And when he come back from the war, his wife had left him. So he'd come live with us part of the time as my mother's brother. And some of y'all that were around here might remember he used to live down here in the trailer next to the maintenance building. Anybody ever remember Uncle Guy? And so we went up there, and he had married Aunt Flora, and she had a son. And so I knew that Charles had graduated from high school, and had gone. I knew it, about it. And so I was up there, and we went up there to visit. And Aunt Flora said to me, "Say, hey, Kenneth Wayne, Charles is gone. He said he wasn't coming back. He's going to make a career out of the Air Force. And you see that? See those bunk beds in there? It said you can either make them twin beds or you can bunk them. It said there's two beds, the mattress, box springs, the chest, and the mirror. So you can have it if you want it." I said, "I want it." But I said it for, I don't know, maybe 2 months. I don't know how long. I just kept saying, I told everybody listen to me, I'm going to get me a bedroom suit. Hello. I still have that. It was a hand-carved solid oak. In fact, when Craig got old enough, he used it till he was in the eighth grade. I got it when I was in the eighth grade. He used it till then. It's still in storage right here somewhere. I know where it is. I could go get it. But let me tell you something. You got to say it when you don't even see how it's possible. I didn't see how it's possible. I didn't have the money. Dad said, it's not in the budget. So you're going to have to believe for it and get it yourself. I did. By saying it. What I'm trying to get across to you is that speaking the word of God is like a seed. When you begin to sow when you sow a seed into the ground, you take care of it. How do you take care of it? By making sure that the grass don't grow up and choke it out. By making sure it has water, so forth and so on. It'll grow up. It'll grow. There'll be flowers or whatever it is. If you tell me, it's springtime. People are planting. Any of you plant a garden? Any of you plant those big Tom tomatoes? Anybody plant one of those tomato plants? I like them big ones, the big Toms. How many know what I'm talking about? If you don't, Bible said, let him as ignorant be ignorant still. See, you can prove anything by the word of God, but you have to take it out of context to do it. But now you don't plant that seed and go out there tomorrow and expect to get tomatoes off of a plant. In fact, tomorrow it won't even be out of the ground. It may be a week before you ever see a sprout coming up through the ground. Come on now. When you speak the word concerning what your circumstance, your situation, you're planting a seed. When you keep speaking the word, that's like keeping the grass away. That's like watering it. That's like making sure that it's all right. And eventually you keep speaking the word. 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 You keep saying the same thing every day. Every time you think about it, you say it. Say it. Believe, say it, do it, believe it, receive it. That's the first message I ever preached. I got it from my dad because he preached it. He got it from the Lord, and I preached it when I was 14 at a youth. Somebody didn't show up to speak at the youth, and they said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Give it to me." Because we had advertised this special event. People had come. Other youth groups had come. They said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to do." That's what I did. I got up there. I just remembered what he said. I didn't have no notes or nothing, but I didn't know the scripture. So I read Mark 5:25. I read the story and I said, this is what you have to do. Whatever you need to get, you got to say it, do it. The lady said it. She said, "If I can touch his clothes," she said, "she came to Jesus." She did it. She believed what she said. She received it. And she told it. Come on. When you speak the word continually, speaking the word of God, you are building a road whereby the blessings of Jesus Christ can come to you and lift you up and lift you out of all of your circumstances, and lift you out of all the mess that the devil has tried to get you in. See, he talks about what he's going to do to you and how big he is. But remember this, God is bigger than anything. Our words are carriers. You ever got stopped by the train right down here on the train tracks? You ever notice it comes by, it's got different kind of cars. And it's got some of that cars that have the doors on the side. It's got another car that's a carriage car, automobiles. Then you'll have another one that it's carrying grain or coal or something like that. See, they're carriers. Our words are carriers, just like those cars on that train. Hey, get your train rolling and keep the cars full of the word of God and let it roll along the track and deliver you and set you free. Come on. Your destiny, your victory, if you want to call it that, is in your words, in what you say. No matter what walk of life you're in, no matter where you're at, if you will begin to confess the word of God, you will see that you'll come out on top. You can't go under for going over. It may look like you're going under. It may look like everything is going down. But let me tell you what. Just what it looks like don't count. Only thing that counts is what God's word says and what's coming out of your mouth. What you say creates your destiny in your world. Hallelujah. I preached long enough. Stand up. Say this with me. My destiny is in my words. What I keep saying is what I'm going to get. I'm maintaining a constant confession of faith. I will see God's promises come to pass in my life. I will keep saying what God says. I will keep calling those things that don't exist as though they do. By speaking the right words, the word of God, I can reach full victory and freedom if I say the right words. And the right words is the word of God. coming out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You control your life by what you say concerning what God said. You got something you want to sing, Brother Dan?
So I say to the mountain, move. So I say to the mountain, get out of my way. So I say to the mountain, move. So I say to the mountain, get out of my way.
We sing that song all the time on the road, don't we? Road people. I've got some of you up here anyway. In case some of you don't know it, that's a little course that Clinton Utterbrock wrote, one of our Rhema grads, and we've gone on to Beethoven. How many of you ever saw Brother Clinton sit down at the piano and begin to sing? Man, that was something that guy could do it, couldn't he? he wrote that. And hey, I didn't tell them to sing that. In fact, I was surprised when they started. But hey, it went right along with what I preached about, didn't it? Went right along with what we preached about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bow your head for just a moment. I never like to have a service where I speak that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, or somebody to rededicate their life to God, or somebody be filled with the Holy Spirit, according to what Acts 2:4 says. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, I want to pray with you and for you. Let me see your hand. I can't pray for you if I don't know who you are. So just slip a hand up, wherever you're at, upstairs, downstairs, all over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking. Praise the Lord. Well, everybody raise your hands and thank God. I guess we're all born again. If there happened to be somebody that needs you, you need your son, Jesus, as the Lord of their life. Let the conviction and power of God go with them. May they not be able to do anything until they stop and confess Jesus as Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.